Okay, folks, we're trying a reset on the broadcaster. So we should be live now on the air. We're still okay. Okay, I had to reboot the broadcaster. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Bloodlines, May 20th, 2018. And I hope you've all had a chance to listen to Pastor Steve's great disappointment wake-up call, because we've had Dan leave Eurofolk Radio for the second time. And the first time was over the Flat Earth issue, which really antagonized a lot of people in the chat room. And Dan accused the people in the chat room of being ungracious, right? But the issues we've had with Dan recently include having guests on who use foul language, and we counseled him to screen his guests that they don't do that, and unfortunately that advice was not heeded by Pastor Dan, and he was still bringing up the Flat Earth issue. You know, so he was causing dissension by bringing up what I consider to be a non-essential issue for identity, and the multiple wives issue, which is really not essential for the message we're bringing to the world. And but the last straw was when he had previous Wednesday a channeler of ISIS as his guest, and giving her the time of day where the Bible clearly says we are not to associate with unbelievers. And any channeler of ISIS cannot possibly be a believer in the word. Now, I was not there to hear the show live, and it has not been replayed anywhere else that I know of, so I haven't been able to hear it. But Pastor Steve was there. He and many of the people in the chat room were there and really complaining to Pastor Dan that this is not appropriate for Eurofolk Radio, and he accused them of creating dissension. So since Pastor Steve was there, he's going to give you an eyewitness account of what went on last Wednesday. And by the way, Pastor Dan left of his own accord. We did not kick him off, although we were getting ready to, because he was violating too many of our scriptural principles. Over to you, Pastor Steve.
Well, I just poured a fresh cup of coffee. I really need it. It was very disappointing. That's why I titled my wake-up call sermon, A Great Disappointment. This woman was hawking her machine, which cost over $5,000, and doing all that other, and just really a new age, touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy stuff. And then I went to her website, and I took a look at it, and I almost had another heart attack.
And, I can imagine.
You got to be kidding me. She's a priestess of ISIS. Well, I gave the whole rundown on my wake-up call show. She yeah. channels spirits, and the ISIS spoke through her at the Temple of ISIS in Egypt.
Right.
And, she met yeah. the Dalai Lama. You know, all you know, whatever. Look, folks, this you know, whether people want to admit it or not. We've had people, no, this is a Christian identity station. Got it? No
that's
ifs,
right.
No ands, no buts.
We're here for Christian
that's
identity.
That's what we started out as. We are going to return to that. The other stuff, now we have other information on here, like I say in my little promo for EFR. We have health information. We've got political commentary. We got a little humor. Current events. Oh yeah, we're right up on current events. but all with a CI flavor. We're really going to have to take a real close look at shows. If we have people come on that are anti-CI, that disparage our beliefs that Yahweh is the only supreme deity, there's no one else. If they challenge that, then they're gone. We're not going to have it. We are not, as the Council of Elders,
right,
we're not going to allow it.
Well, let me just comment here, because this happens fairly often where people come on, let's say John Kaminsky, who's not CI, right? And, he will say something that the Jews are the Israel of the Old Testament. And so it's up to us, and that can happen when you have a secular person on an interview. But it's just, all you have to do is politely remind them that, well, that's not what we believe. Our belief is that the Jews are not the Israel of the Bible, and that they're total imposters. So, please continue. We don't need to debate that now. Please continue.
It's going to have to be up to the show host.
That's right. That's right.
To check that person.
Check that person out.
Now, look, and if the show host isn't going to do it, then the show host is going to be in trouble, because we're not going to, if you're going to have these people on your shows, and that's fine, you need to be in charge of the show. You just don't let them ramble on and spew this anti-CI stuff. You have to be in control. If you're going to be a show host, you must host the show with a firm hand.
Mm-hmm. You can do it gently, right?
You don't have to be rude.
Yeah,
but
no.
You have to be in control.
Yes,
and that's that's just the way it is. That's your responsibility as a show host. You need to start doing that.
Yes,
and that goes to all the show hosts, myself included.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for example, I had Michael Goodrich on, who is a basic historian. He has no religious affiliation. And I told them right up front, this is a Christian identity station, and we don't believe the Jews are the Israelites of the Bible. Jesus was not a Jew, et cetera, et cetera. So, we don't want to go in that direction. And, he was not likely to. In fact, he's very much anti-Jewish himself, right? But a lot of people are anti-Jewish who still believe that the Jews are the Israel of the Old Testament, and it's just not true. So, when they start rambling on about that, their false beliefs about the Old Testament, it's just put a polite end to that part of the discussion and move on to what the guest was brought on for, okay? So this is what the problem I had with Dan, with Phil, and, whatever their beliefs are, they're not identity. He had other guests on who used foul language. So I told Dan, there's scriptures that tell us we're to be respectful at all times, and we're not to be using, because even this foul language can bring on demons, right? So, but he refused to heed my suggestion. The next time Phil came on, he was still using the foul language. And so I was getting ready to tell Dan, if this continues, we're going to have to take you off the air. But then this happened. Last Wednesday, he brought on this pagan goddess, self-proclaimed pagan goddess.
Priestess of Isis.
Right.
I read all the scripture about getting away from the Egyptian gods and not even mentioning their names.
Right.
And she's a priestess of Isis. That's right. An Egyptian goddess.
And
now,
she
come
channels.
Come on, folks.
She channels these entities. She self-admittedly...
Can't have that. That's demonic possession.
That's right. That's right. So when I heard about this, my first thought is, Dan, what are you thinking? But then I realized with all the problems we've had with Pastor Dan over the years with the flat earth business, he antagonizes you by constantly bringing up the circumcision issue. And so he's the one who's been divisive, okay? He's the one who's been divisive and stirring up unrest.
Well, I want to say this about circumcision. Circumcision is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. It is not Jewish circumcision. The way they do it, it's a surgical procedure that's done on the eighth day. It is not passed away. Not one jot or tittle of the law shall fail till heaven and earth pass away.
Yeah,
sets Israel apart from these other nations. It is a commandment of Yahweh. If you don't like that commandment, I don't much care whether you like it or not. If you're going to worship Yahweh, you do not deliberately promote disobeying his commandments.
Yeah.
That's another thing that he was doing. He was promoting rebellion against Yahweh.
Yeah,
genital mutilation. We're not going to... Blah, blah, blah. It is a commandment of Yahweh.
Well, the science behind it shows that if it's done Yahweh's way...
That's correct.
The body actually produces a hormone which causes the wound to heal more rapidly. That doesn't kick in until the eighth day. Okay? So biblical circumcision is not the barbarism that modern Jewish circumcision is, folks. There's a huge difference. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. But the last straw for me is when I heard about this ISIS worshiper being given the time of day on by Yahweh's design, obviously not by Yahweh's design, right? So it's very disappointing. Dan, we still love you, but you have gone seriously astray.
Yep. Very much.
And unless you turn back to Yahweh, there's very little hope for you. You're going to be one of those Israelites in John 17, where Yahshua says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Some of the branches get cut off and thrown into the fire. This is what you're asking for, because you have become apostate.
And you need to get your personal life straightened out. You need
to
get your moral compass back on track. And until you do, hey, look. But we're not gonna have any flat earth on EFR. We're not gonna have any anti-circumcision on EFR. We're not gonna have any paganism on EFR. You know, that's
And it's risky to.
You need to have diversity and have a broad voice. No, they've got all these other stations to go on.
They have
about
diversity.
That claptrap.
Right.
They're not going to do it here. This is a CI station, and that's how it is.
That's right. Right.
So if you don't like it, you got an off button.
Right. You can go. You can go to the other so-called patriotic channels.
Yeah.
Networks.
Yeah, you can go. You can go over to the Daily Stormer or whatever.
Yeah. Talk Shoe, if it still exists. Blog Talk Radio.
Look.
Yeah. So, my whole premise in creating Your Folk Radio is a freedom of speech issue, because it's Christian identity that is the most censored of worldview. There's absolutely no doubt about it, even in the prisons. And Pastor Steve can vouch for that.
Oh, boy.
So I wanted a venue in which our opinion would not be censored, okay? And there is no other place on the net where Christian identity is not – it's openly proclaimed and uncensored, okay?
Yep.
So we don't need these other points of view. Those other points of view are the ones that are censoring us. Yeah, so, okay, Detox the Kool-Aid. you may have to refresh to hear the sound. That's what other people have had to do. Okay, so hopefully, okay, Detox got the message to refresh. And so we want to be the cutting edge of broadcasting, with CI being the primary theology ideology, and anything else is secondary. And then we have to be very careful about who we invite. You have to screen people to make sure they don't blather out anti-CI words or violate Yahweh's laws, as Phil and many of Dan's guests had done. Okay.
And we're not going to have anybody exhort people to do violent acts, because that brings the Fed on us.
Right, right.
Yahweh's going to deal with all of this. You have to understand that. He will do the smiting. We may be in the army when he gives the wake-up call and we get orders to march. But until that happens, I'm not going to have the Fed storm and kick my door in and shoot up my computer.
Yeah,
you've had that
happen already.
I'm not going for that.
Right?
Been there. I've done that.
Right?
We need to use our heads. If we want to say things, you can say things in an intelligent manner.
Right. And
without arousing the ire of the FedGov.
And you shouldn't be broadcasting your militia intentions publicly. Hello.
Yeah, if you're going to do something, do it quietly.
Yeah.
And don't say it on the air.
All right.
That's stupid. I'm sorry.
Stuart 41 says, this is what happened to the three grumpy men some years back. Who are those? The Three Stooges? Right. So, yeah, this is an incredible development, Dan has turned apostate. And it's now, somebody said, it may have been you, Pastor Steve, that he has gone the way of Solomon. So by having these pagan women, associating with these pagan women is a bad idea. You know, if you think you're going to convert them.
No.
I'm sorry.
He's not interested in converting them.
But we're not to associate them.
He has other interests. We'll just leave that.
No. But we're not to even associate with them. Paul is very clear. The word is very clear. Have nothing to do with unbelievers. Okay?
There's no fellowship between light and dark.
Yes. And if they come to you and ask you, what's this identity all about? What's this identity message? Then, okay, so you've got a door opened. Okay? But if you think you're going to go to a pagan and instruct her about Christian identity, and she's going to listen to you? No, no. In fact, the word is very clear, Pastor Steve, and this and maybe this woman is white. I don't know. It doesn't matter. She's still a pagan. When the apostles were instructed to go house to house and find Israelites who would be willing to listen, the word is very clear. If they refuse to listen, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next house. You're not to waste your time with people who aren't ready to hear the word. Okay?
That's right. Don't cast your pearls before swine.
That's right. And so, and then you put it very eloquently on your wake-up call, great disappointment. This is what was going on Dan's show here on Your Folk Radio, and we simply cannot have that. We cannot have that, okay? So sorry to say. Now, it's interesting because last week we covered this in Book of Maccabees, and I forgot to even load up my Book of Maccabees because, as you probably understand, I'm a bit upset about this. So
I'm very upset.
Yes.
I thought Dan was a brother.
Me too. But in Maccabees, and I remember the Old Testament episode where Moses was exhorting the men of Israel to fight, okay? And he had his arms up, raised to Yahweh while he was praying for the soldiers. And whenever he lost strength and his arms began to fall down, I believe it was Joshua and Aaron held his arms up, and when his arms fell, the Israelites did very poorly in battle, and when he kept his arms up, they did very well. So it's a direct connection, showing the faith of Moses, our faith. Now, in the Book of Maccabees, they were being led by the hammer, Jacob Maccabee, okay? Mm-hmm. He was their high priest. We don't have a high priest today, and acknowledged, and certainly no one who's been set up by Yahweh, for us to give us marching orders, okay? The word is very clear, and Pastor Steve, I think you'll vouch for this, that we, who can make war against the beast? We are to wait until the second coming when Yahshua will give us our marching orders. Anything that we do on our own without the blessing of Yahshua or the instruction of Yahshua is hugely wrong.
Yeah, don't trust in chariots and in weapons.
Yes.
And trust in Yahshua. He's coming back with his avenging angels with flaming fire.
Yes. Okay. Man. And so the same thing occurs in the book of Maccabees, where, let's put it this way, challengers to Jacob, the hammer, Mr. Maccabee, Judah Maccabee, sorry. But actually, Judah Maccabee is the correct name. And when other challengers arose to challenge him and start wars on their own volition, they were defeated. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is what Phil, Dan's friend, can expect if they try to do that. They will simply be wiped out. Okay? Oh, yeah. That's my opinion. And that's what Scripture says. So take care, Dan. Don't listen to that guy. He, you know, you're just going to be wiped out. And if you keep broadcasting your intentions, you're just attracting federal attention to yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. So I think enough said on that subject.
All right. So they said, let us also make a name for ourselves. Let us go and make war on the nations around us. And that was Joseph, son of Zechariah, and Azariah, the commanders of the forces. They went against their leader, and they went and made war on these nations around them. And in verse 60, it says, and Joseph and Azariah were routed and were pursued to the borders of Judea. And as many as 2,000 of the people of Israel fell that day.
Okay.
They did not listen to their real commander. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, you want to get into Maccabees today, or are we going to keep...
No, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just
we continue. Will be starting... at chapter 6 of the book of 1 Maccabees. Now, I have extensive notes, and I will be reading the notes with the verses, okay? And this is an anglicized scripture, but I will be putting the sacred name back in, the name Yahweh, where they have the Lord, etc., etc., and that is the only modification I will make to this. So let's get started. This is the last days of Antiochus Epiphanes. This is verse 1 of chapter 6. King Antiochus was going through the upper provinces when he heard that Elymais in Persia was a city famed for its wealth in silver and gold. Its temple was very rich, that's verse 2, containing golden shields, breastplates, and weapons left there by Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian king who first reigned over the Greeks. Verse 3. So he came and tried to take the city and plunder it, but he could not because his plan had become known to the citizens, and verse 4, and they withstood him in battle. So he fled and in great disappointment left there to return to Babylon. Verse 5. Then someone came to him in Persia and reported that the armies that had gone into the land of Yehuda, I'm not going to say Judah, it's not Judah, it's Yehuda. That's the land of Yehuda, and Yehuda means Yah is praised. Okay? had been routed, that verse 6, that Lysias had gone first with a strong force, but had turned and fled before them, that they had grown strong from the arms, supplies, and abundant spoils that they had taken from the armies they had cut down.
Now, this, Pastor Steve, let me interrupt here, because this is important to know, because the same thing's going to happen when the mystery Babylon collapses. First of all, they're going to start killing each other, because they're going to go into the cities and start slaughtering people. And then, you know, we'll have the arms that they leave on the ground will be left for us, okay?
But that's correct.
We want to be ready in any case. Back to you.
Right, and here's verse 7. And verse 7 here, you reference 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 54. It said that from the armies that they had cut down, that they had torn down the abomination that he had erected on the altar in Jerusalem, and that they had surrounded the sanctuary with high walls as before, and also Beth Zur, his town. Well, they got rid of the abominations. Verse 8. When the king heard this news, he was astounded and badly shaken. He took to his bed and became sick from disappointment, because things had not turned out for him as he had planned. Verse 9. He lay there for many days because deep disappointment continually gripped him, and he realized that he was dying. Verse 10, so he called all his friends and said to them, sleep has departed from my eyes, and I am downhearted with worry. Verse 11, I said to myself, to what distress I have come, and into what a great flood I now am plunged. For I was kind and beloved in my power.
All right.
Verse 12. Mm-hmm. But now I remember the wrong I did in Jerusalem. I seized
wow.
all its vessels.
Wow, he actually admits. He actually admits he did wrong.
And I sent to destroy the inhabitants of Yehuda without good reason. Verse 13. I know that it is because of this that these misfortunes have come upon me. Here I am, perishing of bitter disappointment in a strange land. Verse 14. Then he called for Philip, one of his friends, and made him ruler over all his kingdom. Verse 15. He gave him the crown and his robe and his signet, so that he might guide his son Antiochus and bring him up to be king. Verse 16, thus King Antiochus died there in the 149th year. Okay.
Okay, and let me just comment here. That is
163 B.C.
Okay.
Okay.
And when we continue to obey Yahweh's laws, he tells us he will take care of our enemies. We don't have to fear these people. No matter none of their weapons will prosper against us as long as we obey Yahweh's laws, and that's why we had to part ways with Dan, because he was obviously not following Yahweh's laws anymore. Now, some guy in the chat room is calling me a hypocrite because I have associated with Paul Tepeti. Let me remind this person that Yahshua preached to mixed multitudes. So did Joshua. Okay, not preached to them, but Yahshua, our Lord and Savior, preached to mixed multitudes. We're not there to convert these people. We're just there to tell them what the law is and what they need to conform to. Okay? I have made no attempt to convert Paul Tepeti to identity. He understands our point of view, he appreciates it, and he is in much agreement with it. But the mere fact that I speak at his conferences as Yahshua spoke to mixed multitudes is not hypocrisy on my part, okay? Because, why? Well, because everybody needs to be warned about what's getting ready to happen. Even the animals are going to suffer. Back to you, Pastor Steve.
Well, there's lots of people going to finger point.
Yeah, and here, even here on Eurofolk Radio, there are non-whites listening. Jews are listening, right?
Absolutely.
You can't help that. So that does not mean we're hypocrites for broadcasting this publicly.
You don't preach to the non-Israelites, but if there are Israelites in the crowd, that's what you're preaching to.
That's right. That's right.
And if only one turns to Yahweh, that's a great victory.
That's a great victory.
You have to understand, we can't write off all these people because they have affiliated and are in secular organizations. That's how you get converted, as you hear the word, and you hear the word from a preacher. The people don't read their scripture. That's the problem. These people are not reading the scripture and taking the lessons from the scripture. So they think our actions are wrong because we're acting in accordance with the scripture. Well, if you read the scripture and learn from it, you'll understand better what we're about. It's on you to study to show yourself approved.
Yeah,
and if you refuse to study, that's your problem, not mine.
Right. And it's very important for non-Israelites to understand our mission, our commission, okay? This is not about hating other people.
No.
Not at all. But the scriptures need to be made clear to them that we are the covenant people. Yahweh expects us to accept his rule over all his creation, and he has put us in front, as back in Genesis 1:26, that we are to take dominion over this planet. Now, these people who are not Israelites can accept it or reject it, but this is what the scriptures say. I would simply say, anybody listening who's not an Israelite, you can either accept our dominion or you accept this Jew dominion that we have right now. The choice is yours.
All right. If you read scripture quite clearly, not all non-Israelites will be destroyed. Those that are not in direct opposition to Yahweh, that have not attacked Israel, they will be saved from destruction. They will not get eternal life. They will not have a renewed body. They will live as regular men and live their normal lifestyle. But they will be under our dominion. We will have dominion as renewed divine beings. We will be the administrators of the law after the second coming. Now, if they are not in opposition, have not shown enmity to Israel, they will be treated kindly. We're not going to be oppressive. We're not Jews. We're not going to oppress them. We're not going to breed with them. They will live their lives out in peace because the whole planet will be in subjection to the Master, Yeshua, our King. He will be here. Now, you need to understand that. Subjection, that means subjects.
Right.
Like subjects to a monarch. Well, he is the divine monarch.
Every knee shall bow.
There are laws that you will have to follow.
Right. Every knee shall bow, including David Duke.
And every tongue shall swear.
Yes.
Even the non-Israelites will praise Yahweh because they realize that he is the divine being. And there is no other. Not ISIS, not any of this other garbage. Yahweh is the supreme being, and they're going to have to deal with that.
Right, right.
And
okay, and this is the way the law is stated. His relationship with us, his covenant people, never changes. It goes on for eternity, and he expects us to be, as Stuart 41, his stewards. And our people have been failing at that.
That is correct.
Right?
Yes.
And a little gentle persuasion.
That is why the enmity between HaSatan and us.
Mm-hmm.
We were to be in dominion over this planet and take the dominion from him. And that is why he hates the Adamic race and why he is constantly, through his minions, tried to destroy us.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he's jealous and angry. Well,
and attacking our weaknesses, right?
At that point in time when mm-hmm. the second coming, which is approaching rapidly, whether you want to believe it or not, I don't care, you know. He will no longer be a problem. That will be ended. And the judgment will follow after that. And if you read 2 Thessalonians, he's coming back with his avenging angels in flaming fire mm-hmm. to destroy all those that don't know Elohim. Now, even the other races, if there are Christians in Japan and they're Japanese, they will be saved as long as they realize they're not equal to Israel. They're not Israelites. They will be under the rule of the righteous Israelites that follow the rules of Yahweh. And even Israel, those in Israel that are rebellious and have denied Yahweh, they will be destroyed.
That's right.
You understand?
It's just as simple as that.
All Israel is not going to be given eternal life. Only the obedient, only the remnant, only the faithful. The others shoot themselves in the foot. I'm sorry, but that's how it's going to be. You have a chance to repent and come back to Yahweh. If you refuse to take that chance and accept the covenant, that's on you. He's not looking for clones. He's not forcing anybody to do anything. It has to be a free will choice. Now, right. There's a price to pay right now because we're in a time of trouble and we get attacked, and Yahweh extends his protection to certain people. He didn't let me perish. He didn't let me perish in prison. He had a job for me when I got out.
And you're doing it very well, Pastor Steve.
Well, there is nothing in my life but Yahweh. My life has no purpose except the service. I'm not seeking after Cadillac cars or lots of money or fancy clothes. And by mm-hmm. golly... Yahweh has blessed me and given me stuff I never asked for. He's taken care of me.
Right, right.
And people just don't realize that this is the all-powerful,
right,
real deity. And there's nothing beyond his power. And that's a hard thing for the ego of man to accept, that they're not number one in the pecking order of mm-hmm. the universe.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just real quickly, my last show on Revolution Radio for Restoration Hour will be at the end of June. I think it's June 30th, which will be the last Saturday. The following show in July, I will be exclusively on Eurofolk Radio, and I will have call-in capacity. Okay?
Yeah.
And so anybody will be free to call in. And that will be the one show where, from beginning to end, I will take calls. Okay, but agitators who just want to agitate against Christian identity, beware! I can cut you off at any time, but I will address everybody's questions then and there.
Yep.
Okay. I've always done that in the past, and I don't shirk from that. That's what I did when I was on Republic Broadcasting Network, and that show, which was Voice of Christian Israel, had the most call-ins of any shows ever on Republic Broadcasting Network. And again, the non-whites listened to that show, and one Mexican named Jose called in, and he challenged our covenant message. And I said, well, I'm sorry, Jose, but this is what the Bible says. You can take it or leave it, right? And then he finally admitted, well, oh, yeah, well, we got a pecking order in the Latino community, too. You know, the Cubans hate the Mexicans. The Mexicans hate the Colombians. Well, okay, you're verifying what I've been saying. Thank you very much. And he said, okay. So, you know, speaking the truth has its purpose, and it has its effect, even among non-Israelites.
It has its consequences.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, that this is a perilous time for those who are truthers.
Right, right.
And we understand this, but we're counting on Yahweh's protection. Yeah. And if they kick my door in and shoot me in the head, I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact...
Not in this body.
Yeah, that reminds me, I went down to Southern Illinois to listen to, what's her name? The woman who killed the Equal Rights Amendment. Can't think of her name at the moment. But she was speaking down in Southern Illinois. That's where she's actually from. And one of the speakers, it was all a white lineup of speakers. But this one Mexican guy was in the audience, and he asked to speak. And so he was recognized. He got up to the podium and spoke. And he said, you white people are in serious trouble. The government is trying to kill you all. Be forewarned. All right? Okay. So
like we don't know that.
Yeah, well, we don't. But, you know, a lot of patriots don't know that. A lot of white national, you know, or constitutionalists don't know that. They don't know how serious it is. But he did. He understood. Okay.
Well,
sometimes they need to hear it from a Mexican for it to sink in.
Well, I have told and told and told these white nationalists, the ultimate white nation is the kingdom of Yahweh.
Amen.
Don't you get that? That's what Israel is. Israel are not the Jews. We're not Jewish.
And we're not trying to be Jewish.
Because the Jews try to copy some stuff of Israel. That
Phyllis
doesn't
Schlafly,
make it theirs.
You. Yes.
They're pretenders. They're trying to put on a facade to continue this lie that they're Israel. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And they copy some of the stuff of true Israel. They're of their father, the devil, and he is the author of confusion and deception, and they're going to follow him. And I don't know how to get through to the hardcore white nationalist. I couldn't get through to him in prison. Oh, you're a Jew. You're trying to be a Jew. No, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I kept the Feast of Tabernacles and all of that and Passover and all of that. I kept that in prison.
Right, right.
And so, they didn't understand that. They would not listen. They had their little views. Their minds were locked up. They were in total vapor lock. And I couldn't get through to them. So I shook the dust off my feet and moved on.
There you go. Don't waste your time.
That's
opposite.
That's all I can do.
It's the exact opposite of what the Judeo-Christian so-called ministry does. They're constantly trying to convert the heathen to no effect. They're totally miserably failing, okay? Detox says, Phyllis Schlafly, thank you very much. Another speaker was the now late Sam Francis, who was one of the best patriotic writers, pro-white, ever to have a column in major newspapers. Sam Francis, look him up. He was a great, great man.
I met
him personally.
They cut him off now, boy.
Oh, no.
We can no longer use your services.
right, yeah. So that's how real patriots get treated. And so this is all we can expect. That's why we have to have this forum where the Christian identity message is broadcast. And obviously, well, in the early days, in fact, Pastor Steve, my best selling or most listened to sermon was original Christian identity, explaining that we are Israel. We Caucasians are Israel. And a lot of blacks watch that because they hate it, right? And I still get intense anti-white emails from them. But, you know, it's there, and they can pretend to be Israel all they want. You know, we fit the marks, they don't, you know. So it's obvious that non-whites are watching this stuff and listening to this stuff. But they have no argument against us. They simply do not. And so it encourages us when an occasional non-white acknowledges, yes, you are Israel, I see it. I understand what you're saying, right? And that you're not haters, okay? You're not
those trying... Those are the ones that will be saved. Now, saved and redeemed are two different
That's
things.
That's right. They will continue to live in the
we
kingdom.
We can be redeemed. They yes. can be saved.
They be Hebrews.
They're not yeah. Hebrews, but they won't be destroyed in the right. last days if they acknowledge yeah. the truth.
Right. And they will continue to live on as the order was in the days of Adam.
That is correct.
All creatures, bipeds and quadrupeds and fish and birds and dogs, etc., they had mortal existence. Okay? Right. Eternal life is offered only to the covenant people.
That's it.
Okay.
Because we are born from above, not mm-hmm. born again.
Right.
Born from above. We have the divine spark that was given to Ha Adam.
Right. Right. Okay.
Verse 17.
Hold on one, because I want to insert some history here. This book of Maccabees, as all scripture, Israelite scripture is 100% accurate, okay? The problem that scholars have with, for example, the New Testament, they claim that Luke does not have the accurate recording of the names of the rulers of the Romans at that time. They've all been proven wrong because you have to understand there's local language and local people call other rulers by different names. Sometimes they'll call them Nero, okay? And everybody used that term Nero, but other kings had different names. And so you have to do your research. And I've done shows on Luke proving that he was 100% accurate in his history. And all his critics are wrong. Antiochus V Eupator, which is mentioned in the next sentence, he was the successor, it says here, of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. Maccabees is telling us the historical truth. Back to you, Pastor Steve.
Verse 17, when Lysias learned that the king was dead, he set up Antiochus, the king's son, to reign. He had brought him up from boyhood, and he named him Eupator.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know.
Show us where the Bible's wrong. Show us. Nobody's been able to show us where it's wrong.
They just, it's too much information and it's too much like work for a lot of people. Yeah,
that's right.
They don't want to do the effort it takes to learn. And you need, you know, how many years do you think I had to study to learn Hebrew? And how hard is Hebrew to learn? It is a beast.
Yes.
You know, and if you're not willing to do the work, shut up and listen. Okay? That's all I can say. You know.
Don't be so rude or
learn
or
from that. That's the purpose of elders.
Right. Right.
Okay? And I always back up my stuff. I give you the references and where to find it. Yes. Always do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
You
exactly.
got to.
Yeah, we're not. We don't want you to take our word for it. We always encourage people to do their own research. Look
it up for yourself, and then yeah. your interest will be sparked, and you'll take off from there and study on your own. And that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I yes. want you to study. Don't just believe me. I might be shining you on like some Judeo-Christian preacher.
Yeah, shining you on.
Shining you on.
I never
Look
heard
it
that.
Up
that's
for
a great
yourself.
Expression. Yep. Harvest That's moon.
Look it up for right. yourself.
Okay.
Verse 18, this is renewed attacks from Syria. Verse 18. Meanwhile, the garrison in the citadel kept hemming Israel in around the sanctuary. They were trying in every way to harm them and strengthen the nations. Now they have Gentiles, okay?
Right. Yeah, which includes the Edomites.
Nations.
The Edomites are part of the nations gathered against Israel here.
Right. Verse 19, Yehuda therefore resolved to destroy them and assembled all the people to besiege them. Verse 20, they gathered together and besieged the citadel in the 150th year, and that's 162 B.C., okay? And he built siege towers and other engines of war. Verse 21, but some of the garrisons escaped from the siege, and some of the ungodly Israelites joined them.
Uh-oh.
We have just been talking about that.
Right. Okay. That's why we can't have traitors in our midst. They will turn us, yeah. They will turn others of us against Yahweh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You either are or you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it. I'm sorry, you know. Verse 22, they went to the king and said, how long will you fail to do justice and to avenge our kindred? Verse 23. We were happy to serve your father, to live by what he said and to follow his commands. Talk about sucking up.
All right.
24, for this reason, the sons of our people besieged the citadel and became hostile to us. Moreover, they have put to death as many of us as they have caught, and they have seized our inheritances. What do you think we're going to do to those who are anti-Yahweh in the day of Yahshua's coming? Mm-hmm. When we go out as an army, it says very clearly in 2 Thessalonians, they will be destroyed if they don't know Elohim, if they are against Yahweh, they will be put to death. And that includes those of Israel that are rebellious and against Yahweh. All through Scripture, they had them kill the rebellious Israelites. When they rebelled against Yahweh, Yahweh said, smite these men that worshipped Baal Peor. And they did. They went through the camp and they killed all those that had bowed to Baal Peor. Phinehas stuck a javelin through the beast with two backs. When the man was with the pagan woman, and the Midianites were of Adamic seed line, but they had gone pagan. And if an Adamic person goes pagan, they are to be put to death. That's a warning. Listen up out there. That's what the Scripture commands. And we will be enforcing that in the future. I have a nice sharp sword for that reason. Not to go out against guys with M16s, but I'm going to be going around and I'm going to be dealing with those that are enemies of Yahweh. And I will be protected and I will have a renewed body. The dead will rise first, and then the rest of us that are alive will be transformed in that day. And they can shoot at me with an M16 all they want, and it's not going to do them a doggone bit of good. I'll laugh at them. So, verse 25, it is not against us alone that they have stretched out their hands. They have also attacked all the lands on their borders. Yeah, they were going out and doing the whoop-up routine.
Yeah.
And all the people that were against them. These were the righteous Israelites that were doing this. Verse 26, and see, today they have encamped against the citadel in Jerusalem and to take it. They have fortified both the sanctuary and Beth Zur. Verse 27, unless you quickly prevent them, they will do still greater things, and you will not be able to stop them. They were warning. These are the traitors warning that king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the episode in the Old Testament? The Baal prophet gave...
Oh, yeah, they killed them all. Come and sacrifice to Baal.
All right.
And they kept burning up, trying to burn bulls, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Baal didn't do a thing.
Right.
And then the righteous man poured water over all the sacrifice and over all the wood, soaked everything, soaking wet, and he called on the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh sent fire.
Yeah, and it still burned. Yep.
He didn't light it. Yahweh consumed it with fire from the sky. And you talk about soiling one's drillies.
Right.
And then he says, you men of Israel, smite the priests of Baal. And they killed all of them.
Right.
And then they went after, and the woman threw herself out the window.
Right. Yeah.
Or was thrown out the window.
Yeah. Was it say Hillary? And, Hillary Bell?
And she smashed on the street, and they left her lay, and the dogs ate her. The only thing was left was her skull and the palms of the hands.
Mm.
The wild dogs ate her. Didn't even get buried. So...
Sorry about that. All right. Please continue.
Verse 28. The king was enraged when he heard this.
Okay. Right.
He assembled all his friends, the commanders of his forces, and those in authority. Verse 29. Mercenary forces also came to him from other kingdoms and from islands of the seas. Verse 30. The number of his forces was 100,000 foot soldiers, 20,000 horsemen, and 32 elephants accustomed to war. Verse 31. They came through Idumea.
Uh-oh.
That's Edom.
The Edomites let them in.
They were with them. And encamped against Beth Zur. And for many days they fought and built engines of war. But they sallied out and burned these with fire and fought courageously. Now, in this book, it has the Jews. Incorrect.
Sure.
Okay, that's incorrect. In the Greek, it has they, so I crossed out. Jewized a lot of this literature. You have to really know what you're reading and correct it in your mind. Well, I corrected it in the actual print, and I have crossed out this and made notes, and I've had this book for years. Years and years and years. This is the battle at Beth Zechariah, verse 32. Then Yehuda marched away from the citadel and encamped at Beth Zechariah, opposite the camp of the king. Ooh, ooh. Verse 33. Early in the morning, the king set out and took his army by a forced march along the road to Beth Zechariah. And his troops made ready for battle and sounded their trumpets. Verse 34. They offered the elephants the juice of grapes and mulberries to arouse them for battle. Verse 35. They distributed the animals among the phalanxes. With each elephant, they stationed 1,000 men armed with coats of mail and with brass helmets on their heads, and 500 picked horsemen were assigned to each beast. War elephants, okay? Verse 36, these took their positions beforehand where wherever the animal was, wherever it went, they went with it, and they never left it. Verse 37. On the elements were wooden towers, strong and covered. They were fastened on each animal by special harnesses, and on each were four armed men who fought from there, and also its Indian driver. Now, see, these were Indian elephants, not African elephants.
Right.
You cannot tame an African elephant, only the Indian variety. Okay? Verse 38. The rest of the cavalry were stationed on either side on the two flanks of the army to harass the enemy while being themselves protected by the phalanxes. Verse 39. When the sun shone on the shields of gold and brass, the hills were ablaze with them and gleamed like flaming torches. Well, they were reflective, and they reflected this golden light all over.
I can see it. Back to you.
This is really
a
great description.
It is.
Verse 40. Now a part of the king's army was spread out on the high hills, and some troops were on the plain, and they advanced steadily and in good order. Very well-disciplined troops, okay? Verse 41, all who heard the noise made by their multitude, by the marching of the multitude and the clanking of their arms, trembled, for the army was very large and strong. Verse 42, but Yehuda and his army advanced to the battle, and 600 of the king's army fell. Verse 43, now Eleazar, called Averon, saw that one of the animals was equipped with royal armor. It was taller than all the others, so he supposed that the king was on it. Verse 44, so he gave his life to save his people and to win for himself an everlasting name. Verse 45, he courageously ran into the midst of the phalanx to reach it. He killed men right and left, and they parted before him on both sides. He got under the elephant, stabbed it from beneath, and killed it. But it fell to the ground upon him, and he died. Verse 47, when they saw the royal might and the fierce attack of the forces, they turned away in flight.
So where was Judah Maccabee here? It's not telling us if he's here guiding the troops or what. But obviously this one soldier, Eliezer.
He was encamped. He was in charge. This is an account of the battle. And this is the story of that one man that gutted the elephant, and the elephant fell on him.
Right.
And killed him. You know? That's like a guy tossing himself on a grenade to save the whole platoon.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah. Please continue.
This is the siege of the temple. Verse 48. The soldiers of the king's army went up to Jerusalem against them, and the king encamped in Yehuda, has Judea, and at Mount Zion. Verse 49, he made peace with the people of Beit Zur, and they evacuated the town because they had no provisions there to withstand a siege, since it was a sabbatical year for the land. They ate what grew of itself. It's a sabbatical year.
Yeah, but they can still store up a
year of rest.
Right.
Okay, verse 50. So the king took Beit Zur and stationed a guard there to hold it. Verse 51. Then he encamped before the sanctuary for many days. He set up siege towers, engines of war to throw fire and stones, machines to shoot arrows, and catapults. They also made engines of war to match theirs. These were the defending forces, and fought for many days, but they had no food in storage because it was the seventh year. Those who had found safety in Yauda from the nations had consumed the last of the stores. Verse 54. Only a few men were left in the sanctuary. The rest scattered to their own homes, for the famine proved too much for them. Okay. And then there's another subsection here called Syria Offers Terms. Verse 55. Then Lysias heard that Philip, whom King Antiochus, while still living, had appointed to bring up his son Antiochus to be king, verse 56, had returned from Persia and Media with the forces that had gone with the king, and that he was trying to seize control of the government. Verse 57. So we quickly gave orders to withdraw and said to the king, to the commanders of the forces, and to the troops, men, daily we grow weaker. Our food supply is scant. The place against which we are fighting is strong, and the affairs of the kingdom press urgently on us. Verse 58. Now, then, let us come to terms with these people and make peace with them and with all their nation. Verse 59. Let us agree to let them live by their laws as they did before, for it was on account of their laws that we abolished that they became angry and did all these things. Stop right here. Mm-hmm. That was the reason they gave such stiff resistance, because they said, oh, you're going to worship all these pagan gods. You're not going to be able to worship Yahweh anymore. You can't have this sanctuary. We're going to put our pagan idols in there. Well, they destroyed all of those before. And they said, not having it. Mm-hmm. So they resisted. Well, they resisted so much that there was political intrigue going on in the background here. And he had to get home to cover his backside so this other guy didn't take over the kingdom. So they were going to leave.
Yeah.
Because they had somebody going back to the original kingdom they were from and was going to take over. And they were going to be between a rock and a hard place. They were going to have forces in front of them and forces behind them. They didn't want that. Verse 60. The speech pleased the king and the commanders, and he sent to them an offer of peace, and they accepted it. Verse 61. So the king and the commanders gave them their oath. On these conditions, they evacuated the stronghold. Verse 62. But when the king entered Mount Zion and saw what a strong fortress the place was, he broke the oath he had sworn and gave orders to tear down the wall all around.
Okay, so we can never take the word of a Jew. Right?
Well, this guy wasn't a Jew. He was a pagan.
Jews and or pagans. 63. Right.
Then he set off in haste and returned to Antioch. He found Philip in control of the city, but he fought against him and took the city by force. Mm-hmm. So that ends chapter 6 of 1 Maccabees.
Okay, so last week I asked the question, well, what was it that brought about the demise of the Maccabean kingdom? And we see here it was traitors. It was people jealous of Judah Maccabee. It was people losing heart, becoming overcome with fear. And so as those elements begin to prevail in Israel, then, of course, Israel becomes weaker. So those of us who keep the faith, we just have to keep the faith because Yahweh will fight our battles for us. He clearly says that. And those of us who are losing heart and becoming fearful, we have to encourage them because Yahweh will protect us. We cannot lose faith. We cannot become fearful.
Nope. Can't lose faith. They're still using the same methods. They will pay off people in our own ranks to betray us. And they will succeed because there are people of little faith that worship the God of gold. And they will torpedo their own people and trust these evil Edomites. And later on, they're going to be played for fools because you can't trust these people.
Right.
They're going to do you in later. Oh, yeah, they'll promise you the sun, the moon, and the stars. But when they finally get what they want and they don't have any more use for you, well, you might have an accident. My, funny how that happens, isn't it, Eli?
That's right. That's right.
My.
Okay.
Well, we don't really have enough time to get into chapter 7.
Right.
We should change the schedule here. We had to do this special announcement deal the get-go of this show.
Right.
So we'll pick it up in chapter 7 next week.
Right, and I have picked words of encouragement for us. First of all, Yahshua says, only those who overcome, only the overcomers will survive the tribulation.
That is Israel. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. You will. It's Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You shall overcome.
Amen.
As El, as divine beings. Well, when he comes back, we will be changed.
Yes.
And we will regain, those of us who are still faithful and are here, will be translated into the old style bodies we used to have instead of these temporary frail shells that we occupy now. And he commands us to occupy until I return, even unto death. Because if you truly believe and you are his and you lose this life, you will gain the other life.
Okay.
This thing's going to fall apart anyway that you're in right now.
Yes.
But later on, it's like old Schwarzenegger said, I'll be back.
Well, right.
if he can create an entire universe, the components that you are made of will return to the earth, and he can reconstitute a divine body with that divine spark that we had in the beginning before it was lost in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Okay. That is promised to us. Now the dead will rise first, and we will have an army like you would believe, and we will be translated. We're not going to be raptured. We're going to be reconstituted. I'll have all my teeth. I won't have arthritis. I won't have this scar on my chest. I won't need glasses. You know,
keep your sword.
I keep it well oiled and sharp.
Yes.
And then we will go out.
Right.
And this battle that's coming up, it's not going to be a two-day battle. Because you have the forces of darkness and those fallen angels that are inhabiting the bodies of their minions here. It's going to be a battle at the end. It's going to be...
Yeah.
the final battle, and it's going to be so horrific, and we're going to clean out all this rot that has infested our planet, and the planet will be restored. The water will be pure, the air will be pure, the soil will be pure, and New Jerusalem will be coming down. It's coming here. We're not going there. We're not going to get raptured up. We're not. Not that
Judeo stuff.
Silly, silly garbage. It will be on earth as it is in heaven. All right. Well, in the sky. Everything's going to be changed here, and the old world order, Yahweh's order of arrangement, will take over. And it says, you know, in John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved his, and they have world. No, that's, read the Greek, his order of arrangement. His order of arrangement, the way things should be.
Right.
Not the way they are now with all the perversion. Learn to read the Greek. Get a good concordance and look this stuff up. Don't just take it at face value. Read the original tongues, because the English mistranslations will lead you astray.
That's right.
Now, I'm coming down. I'm going to be doing the rest of the Apocrypha here. Probably going to finish up the Apocrypha in June, and then I will be starting on my word-for-word shows. I will be starting the New Covenant, Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant, that the New Testament, whatever. It's the New Covenant. And I will be dissecting the Greek as I do in the Hebrew, because I also read the Greek. I'm not a one-trick pony. Right. And when I get into the New Covenant, man, you guys, you don't want to miss the shows, because I'm going to go slow, and I'm going to dissect, and I'm going to give references. Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the heck out of doing the Apocrypha.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I'm not going to do the Maccabees, because Eli and I are doing the Maccabees here. I will post all these shows on my website as well, under a separate heading, the Maccabees. Okay.
Right.
And, right. But when I get into the New Testament, I'm going to knock your socks off and
okay.
Tear your shoes to move. It's right. Going to be fun. We're going to have a good time, folks. Good
John time. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. There's no guarantee. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And how do we overcome this world, this order of arrangement, not Yahweh's ideal order of arrangement? Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And there's two maybes, that thou mightest be justified, and mightest overcome. There is no guarantee, folks. You have to prevail. How? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans 12:21. And very pertinent for today, speaking, because Peter is addressing Israelites. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh and our Savior Yahshua Messiah, they are again entangled therein, and overcome by these pollutions, their latter end is worse with them than the beginning, unquote. So yep. Be careful not to lose the faith. You're going to be in big trouble.
Yep. That's the whole deal.
Yes.
occupy until the end.
Right.
Even
right.
unto death.
Amen. Let me address a question of Harry Mack in the chat room. The calendars are very affordable. It's a $20 donation, but I've had trouble posting a picture of it because my cell phone service has gotten worse. And Paul has that now, and we should be putting the blurb and the photo of the calendar up on the website within the next few days, as well as the Goyim No shirts. Okay? It's because we've had all this tribulation in recent days with technical problems, and Paul English's mother died, and et cetera, et cetera. We have been distracted from the usual business here at Eurofolk Radio. So hopefully after today's show, things will go. In fact, I'm going to pray for Yahweh. We know that you expect us to live through these tribulation times, but allow us some space here to get Eurofolk Radio running smoothly again, as it was for a while, and we would appreciate that. And by the way, that reminds me that sundown, I believe it's Tuesday the 22nd, we're going to have a fast, a day of prayer and fasting, and then the following sundown will be the Sabbath before Pentecost, and then the following sundown will be Pentecost itself. Okay, so these.
All right, sundown on the 22nd is a Sabbath. The 22nd and the 23rd to sundown is a standard Sabbath. A high Sabbath starts at sundown on the 23rd to sundown on the 24th. That is Pentecost. That's the high Sabbath.
So we're going to have three consecutive days.
It's a double Shabbat day. It's a double Shabbat. Sundown on the 22nd to sundown on the 24th are two Shabbats. The first one is a standard Shabbat. The second is a high Shabbat. We're going to fast on the standard Shabbat. And then Pentecost will be the following day.
Okay, so... so you're saying the 23rd, you want to change it from the 22nd?
No,
was...
I'm looking at the calendar right here.
Oh, you are? Okay.
There are two Shabbats back-to-back, 2 days, not one, two.
Yeah, one is the regular Sabbath and one is Pentecost.
One is the high Shabbat. That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Correct.
Okay.
So that we were supposed to fast on the standard Shabbat, not the high Shabbat.
Right. Okay, so... So sundown May 23rd is when we're going to declare the fast?
No. Sundown on the 22nd.
Okay. All right. So there were three consecutive, but only the one day is a fast day. None of these are proclaimed fast days.
There's not three consecutive. There's two.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Sundown of the 22nd starts a standard Shabbat that goes until sundown on the 23rd. That's one Shabbat. The second Shabbat starts at sundown on the 23rd to sundown on the 24th. That's the second Shabbat. Boom, boom. The first Shabbat will be the fast.
Yeah.
The second is a high Shabbat.
Yeah.
You don't fast on a high Shabbat.
Yeah, I don't have the calendar in front of me, but in any case, the fast begins
right here, buddy.
The fast begins sundown. The fast begins sundown May 22nd. That's all people really need to know. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And so Harry Mack, if you send me an email to elijames@att.net, go ahead and I'll send you a calendar. Okay. So and then we'll get those blurbs and photos up of the calendar. And the shirts, the Goyim No shirts, they're long sleeved, and Pastor Steve has been wearing them around Lexington and upsetting the whole town. All right. So, folks.
The Goyim No. The Goyim No.
Yeah, we got to write a song. We got to write a song, the Goyim No.
Well, there is a song there.
There is?
They play. Okay. They play that.
Okay.
It's funny.
Yeah. All right. So, folks, this has been Bloodlines for May 20th, 2018. Unfortunately, we've had a brother fall away. Let's all pray for Dan that he might recover from this episode that he's experiencing. And we are going to keep the faith. And nothing's going to lead us astray here at Eurofolk Radio. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Praise Yahweh. Bye-bye.